It's remarkable, really. For the last 53 years, the holiday special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, has aired on network television. I find it all the more amazing in an age when technology can be outdated in a few months, and maybe a viral video will be outdated in a few days, and the latest meme has a shelf life of a few hours. For 53 years, families, individuals have delighted in the characters of this particular show. Perhaps all the more amazing is that that episode was kind of thrown together at the last minute. It was commissioned and sponsored by Coca-Cola originally. It was written in a matter of weeks. It was animated in less than 6 months. Everybody involved in its production and the executives at CBS were convinced it was going to be a disaster. How would you like to be reminded every year for 53 years that you were wrong? Every married man knows what I'm talking about. It's just a joke. Really, what I'm thinking about is the hockey goalie who said, "How would you like it when you messed up on the job if a red light flashed and 18,000 people booed?" Right? That's kind of the deal. So, it is an amazing story, and all of it, of course, rests on the characters involved of the Peanuts comic strip. You've got Charlie Brown, who's iconic for his striped shirt and perhaps best known as the guy for whom stuff never goes right, kind of the lovable loser. You've got Lucy, who is actually Linus' older sister, and she's known perhaps for being crabby and just a bit bossy. Or as Hazel Strickland's desk says, "I'm not bossy, I have leadership skills." But there's a powerfully poignant moment in that play that involves the character Linus. This is Lucy's younger brother, and we know him best as the guy who always carries around his insecurities in the form of a blanket. And though all the other characters have done everything they can to dissuade him from hanging on to that security blanket, and he himself has suffered ridicule as a result of it, he will not let it go. Of course, part of the thing that makes these Peanuts characters precious to us is because really they are expressions of so many of the characteristics that we have and so many of the challenges we face. So in Linus, there is this life lesson of a person who simply won't let go of that thing that really is holding them back. Won't let go of something so that they can experience what yet remains, so that they can embrace something new, so that they can find a liberty they haven't known before. But I invite you to go back, and you can find it on YouTube or watch it on TV or find it on one of the streaming services, I'm sure. Go back and view the particular scene in A Charlie Brown Christmas when Linus quotes the verse of Scripture that began our service together this morning. As he begins to quote from Luke chapter 2, the announcement of the angels to the shepherds, when he gets to the words, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." When he says, "Fear not," he drops the blanket. It's like dropping the mic, only better. He drops the blanket. I have to believe that the animators there, under the direction of Charles Schulz, knew what they were doing, and that for 53 years now, this sort of subliminal message has been brought forth that because of Jesus Christ, all those things we are holding on to that really only hold us back, that really only hold on to us and keep us confined and keep us constricted, can be released. That in Jesus Christ, there is no longer any reason to fear, but rather to step into liberty, wholeness, and fullness. Many of you have heard me say this many times, but we were created for so much more than we know. We were created by a holy God, a loving God, a purposeful God who forms the earth and all that is in it, and us as a part of it, and creates us as really the pinnacle of His created order. Invites us into partnership with Him. Let us make man in our image that they may rule instructs us to fill the earth, multiply, and to rule over the earth. And yet, because we believe the words of the liar instead of the word of God, we found all that opportunity and all that privilege ripped from us. And I just say to you that, you know, if that's the case, if our relationship with God is fractured and severed and destroyed, then I think in that context, the world is a terribly fearful place. I don't want this world apart from the God who formed it. I don't want this world apart from the God who formed me to partner with him in this earth. It's a scary thing. Beauty of the Christmas story, the power of this day that we are celebrating today, it really is the pivot point for human history. The glory of all we were created for, the brokenness of all we have experienced because of our own rebellion against the God who formed us. And then, in this moment, somebody said it years ago, a child is born and time splits in two. In that moment, a Savior is born. And the announcement of the angel says, you don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live constrained by what might happen anymore. You don't have to live misshapen by what you don't think you might get right. Because a Savior, this day, in the city of David, a Savior has been born unto you. He is Christ the Lord. And so everything that we were formed for from the beginning, now God is in the gracious process of restoring to us through Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our rebellion, who by his precious blood brought a washing and a cleansing for our sin, our activities of transgression against God and our alienation from God, and instead invites us to become whole in him. God becoming flesh, living, dwelling among us, so that we might know how life ought to be lived, and so that we can be restored to what God formed us for to start with. And so it stretches to our promised future in Christ. No fear, only hope, only joy, only glory in what Jesus Christ has done for us, and all that God formed us for to begin with being restored through that. I wonder if anyone's here this morning, perhaps never quite understanding that about the Christmas story before. I wonder if you're here this morning and you know that Christmas must mean something more, but either no one's ever quite explained it to you, or somehow this morning you know it in a way you haven't known it before. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But I do want to tell you that Jesus is ready to make you whole. That all the fear that perhaps constrains you, all the incompleteness that you feel in your heart, whatever lack and longing can be fulfilled and found complete in Jesus Christ. Because God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And as the Gospel of John says, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And so a simple prayer from your heart. It's not a formula. It's not really a pattern you have to follow. It certainly isn't about joining a church or shaking a preacher's hand, though those things are important. But that moment when you, from a heart of faith, say, I may not understand it all, I may not get it all, but I sense in my heart there's something here that's real, and I want the fullness you were born and you died to bring to me. Jesus always answers a prayer like that, and always brings fullness and wholeness to our lives. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I'd like to offer a prayer of openness to Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you as I pray, if it resonates with you, to just let that pour from your heart towards Jesus, our Redeemer. Fear not. Fear not. Christ is born. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the richness of your presence this morning. Thank you for this simple lesson tucked away in an animated television show from 53 years ago. That our insecurities can be let go in the fullness and security that we find in Jesus Christ. That in you we can indeed have life, and that more abundantly. All we long for and more. What can best be described as life everlasting, life that simply doesn't end. So we bring to you everything we are, all our brokenness, all our incompleteness, all our insecurities, all our sensed inadequacies. We present ourselves to you, knowing that you formed us, knowing that you love us, knowing that you gave yourself completely for us. Wash away the brokenness of our lives. Forgive our sins against you, our transgressions against you. Welcome us into that relationship with you that you have promised. And may this Christmas season be the first in a continual lifetime of seasons of fellowship with you, our Savior, our Redeemer, our future, and our hope. We give ourselves to you that we might be made complete in you. In Jesus' name, amen.